As of today, March 4th, 2026, I want you to take a moment and just look around you.
Yeah, really take it in.
Right. Look at the device you're listening to this on. Think about the business you work in, the companies you buy from, the supply chains that deliver your goods. Because we are currently standing in the absolute thick of the greatest technological transformation since the Industrial Revolution.
It's true.
And I know that sounds like a super dramatic opening,
A little bit, yeah.
but it isn't hyperbole. That is the actual reality of the ground we are walking on right now.
Exactly.
If you are listening to this deep dive, you are likely someone who wants to understand not just what is happening in some, macro sense, but how you can actually navigate it in your daily professional life.
Right, the practical side.
Yeah. So today, our mission is to cut straight through the deafening hype surrounding artificial intelligence. We're pushing past the flashy
Yeah,
headlines.
science fiction anxiety.
Yes, the sci-fi anxiety, the endless debates on social media. We are looking at the cold, hard reality of how AI is actively this very second transforming the middle
The
stand.
mid-market businesses.
Right, the mid-market businesses that form the absolute backbone of the DACH economy. Germany, Austria, Switzerland, the engine room of Europe.
It really is the engine room. And right now, that engine is undergoing a complete radical refit.
While still running.
Exactly. While still being expected to run at absolute full speed.
It's wild.
It is. We're going to be diving into some really fascinating, highly pragmatic materials today. Specifically, we're looking at comprehensive company profiles, market overviews, and internal data sets from Dynamic Support AG.
Right.
They are a specialized AI consultancy. But what makes this data so compelling is that they are tailored entirely for this mid-market sector.
This isn't theoretical data from a university lab in Silicon Valley.
No, not at all. And it isn't a speculative white paper either. This is battlefield intelligence. It's from the companies actually deploying these systems on the ground in real warehouses, real sales floors, and real accounting departments across the DACH region.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the landscape is incredibly complex, and I need someone to help me, and you listening, separate the signal from the noise.
I'm ready.
I got the perfect guide here with me. Someone who can take these massive paradigm-shifting concepts, the kind that usually get buried in technical jargon, and ground them in everyday business reality.
I appreciate that.
We have so much ground to cover, and for anyone operating a business today, the stakes literally could not be higher.
I am thrilled to be here to tear into this with you. The excitement around this technology is entirely justified, but my goal today is to validate that excitement while keeping our feet planted firmly on the ground.
Please do.
Because it is very easy to get swept away by what AI might do in 10 years.
Oh, absolutely. The hype cycle is crazy.
Right. We need to look at what is practically possible today, what makes undeniable financial sense, and how this technology translates into tangible results for the listener's specific business operations.
So let's set the scene for 2026. Because even a year or two ago, AI still felt like, future music for a lot of traditional businesses.
Yes.
It was something Google, Microsoft, and massive tech conglomerates did. It was not something a local logistics firm with 80 employees or a medium-sized machinery manufacturer in Stuttgart needed to worry about on a random Tuesday morning.
Definitely not.
But looking at the data we have today, it is violently clear that grace period is entirely over.
It is gone.
So I want to start with a big claim I made at the top. Why is the comparison to the Industrial Revolution actually accurate here? Because people throw that phrase around a lot for any new software update, and usually sounds like a massive exaggeration.
It does. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the comparison holds up precisely because of what is being mechanized. The Industrial Revolution was fundamentally about the mechanization of physical labor. We took the hard biological limits of human and animal muscle, and we replaced them with steam and later electricity and combustion.
Right.
It fundamentally reorganized society because physical power was no longer the bottleneck.
So what's happening now?
What we are experiencing now, culminating here in 2026, is the mechanization of cognitive labor.
Cognitive labor.
Yes. We are taking the limits of human attention, memory, reading comprehension, and processing speed, and we are augmenting them with algorithms. It is a fundamental shift in how human capital is deployed across every single sector of the economy.
Wow.
It permanently changes the basic unit of production in an office setting.
I want to look at the numbers because they are just staggering.
Yeah.
I know that right now, according to the research, 80% of Fortune 500 companies are already using AI sisters productively.
Productively being the key word there.
Yes, I want to emphasize that. They aren't just testing them in some isolated IT sandbox. They are running live business processes on them. And the global AI market is growing at 35% annually, crossing the $500 billion mark this year.
Half a trillion dollars.
But what really jumped out at me is this McKinsey projection.
Yes, the McKinsey data is sobering. They are estimating that AI will create $13 trillion in additional economic value by 2030.
$13 trillion.
But macroeconomics can feel a bit disconnected from daily reality.
For sure.
The statistic that should make every mid-market business owner listening sit up very straight is the micro-level impact. The data shows that companies currently deploying AI in their core processes are seeing a massive 40% average boost in productivity.
I want to challenge you on that, actually.
Go ahead.
Wait. A 40% boost sounds exactly like a vendor vanity metric.
It does.
Is that just a temporary spike because people are excited about a new tool? Or are mid-market companies actually sustaining that? What does a 40% boost even look like for, say, a mid-sized logistics company?
It is a completely fair challenge. And if it were just a temporary spike, it wouldn't be worth our time.
Right.
But the 40% isn't coming from people typing faster. It's coming from the total elimination of structural bottlenecks.
Give me an example.
Imagine that logistics company. If their dispatchers spend 4 hours a day reading emails from truck drivers, cross-referencing those emails with a spreadsheet, and then manually updating a routing system.
Which happens every day.
Every single day. And suddenly, an AI agent does all of that cross-referencing and data entry instantly.
Okay.
The dispatcher didn't just get 40% faster. They got 4 hours of their day back to actually optimize routes, negotiate rates, and solve complex delays.
That makes total sense.
The 40% is a sustained structural gain because the fundamental nature of the work has changed.
Which brings us to a very stark warning in our sources regarding the mid-market. The text basically issues an ultimatum to the SMEs, the middle stand.
It really does.
It says those who don't act now risk losing their connection to the market entirely. Why is the threat so existential for them compared to the big players?
It comes down to capital and margins. The Fortune 500 companies have the massive cash reserves required to absorb inefficiencies for a little while.
They can afford to be slow.
Exactly. Yeah. A mid-market company simply does not. The DACH middle stand is famous globally. It is legendary, really, for its engineering precision, its reliability, and its highly specialized niche products.
The hidden champions.
Yes, the hidden champions. But that traditional high-quality, high-touch model is being aggressively squeezed.
How so?
If a mid-market firm ignores this 40% productivity leap, they aren't just going to be slightly less profitable at the end of the quarter. They will structurally be unable to compete on price, on the speed of delivery, or on service quality.
They'll just be left behind.
They will be systematically priced out and paced out of their own highly specialized markets by competitors who can do the exact same quality of work, but drastically faster and cheaper.
So, for you listening, if you operate in, manage, or even just work closely with the SME sector, this isn't about deciding whether to adopt a cool new software product.
No.
It is a conversation about fundamental survival and market relevance.
Absolutely.
But here is where the public narrative usually goes entirely off the rails.
Yeah.
It usually devolves into doom and gloom about machines taking everyone's jobs and mass unemployment.
Which is largely a distraction in this sector.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our materials from Dynamic Support AG pivot hard away from that anxiety into a very different, very concrete crisis that AI is perfectly positioned to solve.
The real crisis.
Let's introduce the elephant in the room, the demographic time bomb. This is where an existential threat meets the ultimate amplifier.
The skilled worker shortage.
Yes.
It is so vital to understand that in the DACH region, this is no longer some abstract statistical projection meant for a government white paper about the next decade.
It's happening today.
It is a daily, agonizing reality for almost every single HR department, every operations manager, and every CEO.
The numbers in the market overview are chilling.
They are. In Germany alone right now, there are over 570,000 skilled workers missing, just entirely absent from the labor pool.
570,000?
Yeah.
I try to visualize that. That's the entire population of a major European city like Bremen or Leipzig, just completely vanished from the workforce. And the terrifying part is that it is getting so much worse so quickly. The data notes that 7 million baby boomers are going to retire by 2035.
7 million.
And there are simply nowhere near enough younger workers coming up behind them to fill those empty desks and factory floors.
Which leads directly to the operational paralysis we are seeing. It's not just a future problem. Right now, 64% of SMEs report that they cannot fill their open roles.
Over half of them.
They are actively trying, they have the budget, and the talent simply does not exist. And when they do try to hire, the average vacancy time is staggering.
What's the number?
We are talking about the time a desk sits completely empty and the work simply doesn't get done. That average is over 160 days.
Over 5 months.
Over 5 months.
Imagine running a relay race, and for 5 months, there is literally nobody to hand the baton to.
You just drop it.
The person before them just has to stop running or try to run two legs of the race at once. I want to talk about the collateral damage of that 160-day vacancy. Because it doesn't just hurt the company's bottom line.
No, it crushes the morale of the people who are still there trying to pick up the slack.
Precisely. And the real-world consequences at the macro business level are devastating. The sources explicitly state that businesses are actually turning down orders.
Turning down revenue.
They're actively curbing their own growth. They have willing customers standing there with money in hand. They have the market demand. But they are looking at their operations and saying, no.
Because they literally lack the hands and the minds in the office to process the work. It is forced, involuntary stagnation.
This is where we need to entirely reframe how we think about AI's role in the workplace. And it's a crucial philosophical point that Dynamic Support AG makes in their internal documents.
It's the most important point.
In the mid-market, AI is absolutely not about replacing humans. Mm. You cannot replace people who aren't there to begin with.
Right.
AI is an amplifier. It is stepping in to take over the jobs that nobody wants, or the roles that simply cannot be staffed anymore, regardless of how aggressively you recruit or how much you increase the starting salary.
What's fascinating here is how this shifts the narrative.
How so?
If you have a team of five people doing the work of eight, and they are burning out, bringing in an AI system to handle 40% of their workload isn't a threat to their jobs.
It's a lifeline.
It is a lifeline. It is the only way to stabilize the operation.
Let's talk about the specific kinds of jobs and tasks nobody wants, because this ties into something so deeply psychological about the modern workplace.
The nature of the work itself.
Right. The research introduces a concept that I think is brilliant. We might call it the boredom resignation.
Boredom resignation. I love that term.
It points out that 60 to 70% of a typical office worker's time is eaten up by purely repetitive administrative tasks.
Sorting incoming emails.
Exactly. Transferring customer data from a PDF into an Excel sheet. Copying from that Excel sheet into a legacy CRM system. Mm. Generating the exact same standard monthly reports on the 15th of every month.
The human cost of that inefficiency is tremendous.
It is.
The analysis in our sources points out a very sharp, very uncomfortable truth for management. People don't just quit because of salary disputes.
No.
They quit because copying and pasting data all day is mind-numbing. It is fundamentally demotivating to take a highly educated, highly capable human being, someone you hired for their judgment and expertise, and use them as a biological data transfer cable between two incompatible software systems.
A biological data transfer cable. That is such a brutal but perfectly accurate way to put it.
It's what we do.
I want you listening to think about your own day yesterday or the days of your team. How much time was spent just moving information from point A to point B? Taking a number from this screen and typing it into that screen.
Hours.
The sources argue that by having AI handle that baseline, the endless email triage, the manual data migration, the copy pasting, the standard tier one support answers employees are radically elevated.
They become creators and problem solvers again.
They actually get to do the human work.
Yes. Building complex relationships with difficult clients, strategizing long-term growth, handling those bizarre edge cases that require empathy and lateral thinking.
Stuff a machine just can't do.
Exactly. You cure the boredom resignation by giving people work that actually requires a human brain. You restore dignity to the knowledge worker by removing the robotic tasks.
I completely agree with the cultural and psychological benefits. They are massive. But let's be real. Businesses ultimately run on numbers. The CEO and the CFO need to see the math before they sign off on a new initiative.
Yeah.
And the math presented here regarding the return on investment, the cold, hard ROI, is incredibly compelling.
It is undeniable.
Let's walk through that math, because this is exactly where the skeptical business owner usually crosses their arms, leans back, and says, all right, prove it.
And the data absolutely does prove it. Let's start with the most basic comparison. Personnel versus tech costs.
Okay.
The research lays it out very clearly. If you look at Dynamic Support's internal data, they map out the stark contrast. You take a fully loaded human administrative clerk in the DACH region.
Right.
When you factor in the gross salary, the employer contributions to benefits, the taxes, the physical workspace, the IT equipment, you are looking at an annual cost of between 60,000 and 80,000 euros.
Okay, 60K to 80K for one human processing data. Now let's contrast that. If you implement an AI system that successfully takes over 60 to 80% of that exact clerk's repetitive, monotonous work, what does that look like?
The cost of that technology is a tiny fractional percentage of the human cost.
A fraction.
But more importantly than just the baseline price tag is the operational capacity. The AI doesn't work an 8-hour shift minus an hour for lunch.
It works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
It doesn't take 3 weeks of vacation in August.
Or get the flu in November.
And, crucially, it scales instantly. If your volume of administrative work doubles overnight because you landed a massive new client, a human team breaks down. The AI just processes it in a few extra milliseconds.
That brings us to what the data calls the process cost collapse. And this is where my jaw genuinely dropped reading the sources.
The invoice example.
Yes, I want to share the stat with you. Let's take a single, ubiquitous business process. Processing an incoming invoice.
Everyone does it.
So we know manual data entry is slow, but Dynamic Support actually put a price tag on it. What does it actually cost a mid-market company every time a human has to process a standard invoice?
According to their deep dive into operational metrics, processing an invoice manually, which means opening the email, downloading the PDF, reading the line items, checking it against a purchase order, manually entering the data into the ERP system, and then routing it for financial approval.
That's a lot of steps.
It costs an average of about 12 euros per invoice in pure processing time and labor.
12 euros for a single piece of paper. That is incredible. I don't think most companies even realize they are bleeding that much capital on invisible administrative tasks.
They don't.
Now, what happens when they apply AI-assisted processing to that exact same task?
With an intelligent AI system extracting the data, verifying it against the database, and prepping it for a final one-click human approval, that cost drops to under 2 euros per invoice.
Under 2 euros. That is a 60 to 90% drop in transaction costs.
Yes.
If you are a mid-market manufacturing firm and you process, say, 10,000 invoices a year, you just saved 100,000 euros on a single invisible administrative process.
That is pure liquid capital that goes straight back into your bottom line. Or it can be reinvested into R&D or marketing.
Exactly. And the savings don't just come from the raw speed of execution.
No. A massive, often hidden source of ROI comes from the total elimination of errors.
This brings us to a deeply human phenomenon the research highlights, which we can call the Monday morning effect.
Oh, we have all been there with the Monday morning effect.
Or the Friday afternoon at 4:30 effect.
Very true.
You haven't had your second cup of coffee, a Slack notification pops up complaining about a parking space, your mind wanders for 3 seconds, and suddenly you've typed an extra zero on a purchase order.
It is fundamentally human. We get tired. We get distracted.
But what Dynamic Support is pointing out is that the price of that completely understandable human error is astronomical.
They quantify this beautifully. Let's take a simple transpose number. A tired clerk types 4-5 instead of 5-4 in an order quantity. Or they miss a single tiny compliance checkbox on a customs form. The data shows that this single mistake costs a business an average of 3,000 to 5,000 euros per error.
I have to ask, how does a typo cost 5 grand?
When you factor in the cascading downstream consequences. You have to pay someone to find and fix the mistake. You have to deal with the angry customer whose production line stopped because they got 45 parts instead of 54.
Right.
You have the return shipping costs. You have potential legal compliance fines if it was a regulatory document. The hidden costs compound incredibly fast.
And what is the AI standard for this? Because I have to push back a little here.
Sure.
AI isn't perfect. We've all heard stories about AI hallucinating or making things up. How can we trust it with critical financial data?
That is a critical distinction to make. When people hear about AI hallucinating, they're usually thinking of open-ended generative models.
Like asking a public chatbot to write a poem or summarize history.
Right. But in an enterprise environment, we are talking about heavily constrained, grounded AI. The text notes that AI utilized for specific tasks achieves over 99% accuracy.
99%.
For example, modern OCR optical character recognition, which is when the AI actually reads the pixels of an invoice, is routinely hitting 99.5% accuracy.
Wow.
It doesn't get fatigued. It doesn't lose focus because of a Slack message.
And even if it does make a mistake, the learning curve is entirely different from a human's.
Exactly. This is the most critical difference.
Yeah.
Machine learning means the system only gets more accurate over time. A human might make the same typo twice. Or a new employee might make the same mistake the previous employee made.
Sure.
An AI system, once a human corrects its error, updates its internal model. Theoretically, it never makes that specific mistake ever again. The baseline of quality continuously, relentlessly rises.
So if we synthesize this entire ROI section, you drastically cut the cost per transaction, taking that invoice from 12 euros down to 2. You virtually eliminate the cascading 5,000 euro human errors.
Correct.
And you free up your highly paid staff from the soul-crushing work they hate so they can focus on revenue-generating tasks, like actually talking to your best clients or innovating new product lines.
What the text calls the opportunity costs.
Because all of these factors compound on top of each other, the typical break-even point for these mid-market AI projects is incredibly fast.
Extremely fast.
The sources state that a positive break-even is achieved in just 3 to 6 months.
A 3 to 6 month ROI in enterprise software is almost unheard of.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at traditional IT overhauls, like implementing a massive new ERP system from SAP or Oracle, those projects often take years just to deploy.
Right.
And years more to show a positive financial return if they ever actually do. This unprecedented speed to value is exactly why that 40% productivity boost we debated earlier is happening right now in 2026 and not 10 years from now.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We have spent time on the why, the macroeconomics and the how much, the ROI. Let's dive deep into the what. The AI arsenal.
The actual application areas.
Yes. What are the concrete application areas that are transforming these DACH businesses today? The research introduces a concept that I think is going to be the absolute defining technological term of the next few years. We need to talk about agentic AI.
Agentic AI represents a massive leap forward in capability.
Break it down for me.
To truly understand it, we need to clearly differentiate it from what most of the public is familiar with, which is standard ChatGPT.
Okay.
A standard chatbot is conversational. It's essentially an oracle. You ask it a question, it retrieves information, and it gives you an answer.
But it's trapped.
Exactly. It's trapped inside that little chat window. It doesn't actually do anything outside of talking to you. Agentic AI, on the other hand, possesses agency.
Agency, meaning it acts.
It has the ability to autonomously execute complete multi-step workflows across different software systems using APIs and webhooks.
Let me make sure I understand APIs and webhooks in this context. Just to clarify for the listener, an API is basically a digital bridge that allows two completely different pieces of software to talk to each other.
Yep.
That is a perfect analogy.
So the AI can reach across that bridge and pull a lever in your accounting software.
Yes. The agentic AI is given a goal. And it has the digital hands to reach across those bridges, interact with your databases, your email server, and your CRM, and accomplish the task without you holding its hand. I want to walk through a highly detailed workflow narrative from the text, because it perfectly illustrates the difference between a passive oracle and an active agent. Let's imagine a scenario.
Right.
Let's say an incoming inquiry arrives in the general info inbox of a mid-market manufacturing firm. An email from a guy named Thomas. He writes, "Need 500 units of the X200 valve fast. What's your price and lead time?"
A very standard B2B email.
Right. In a traditional setup, a human has to constantly monitor that inbox, read the email, figure out who Thomas is, ask someone about inventory, and draft a reply.
Which takes time.
Let's look at what the agentic AI timeline looks like. Walk me through the exact steps.
All right. Step one. The AI agent, constantly monitoring the inbox, instantly reads and understands the natural language of Thomas's email.
It knows what he wants.
Yes. Step two, without any human prompting, it uses an API to reach into your Salesforce or HubSpot CRM system to check if Thomas's email address matches an existing customer.
Checking his history.
Checking his past order history and his specific discount tier. Step 3. It analyzes the text fast and flags the inquiry as high urgency.
Smart.
It then reaches into your inventory management system to verify that you actually have 500 units of the X200 valve in stock.
And this is all happening in the background.
Milliseconds. Step 4. The AI agent drafts a highly customized, accurate proposal based on Thomas's specific discount tier, the current inventory, and the shipping timeline.
Incredible.
Step 5. Because we don't want AI blindly sending quotes without oversight, it submits that fully drafted, perfectly formatted proposal to the human sales rep assigned to Thomas's territory for a final review.
So the human is still in the loop.
Always in the loop. Step 6. The human rep reads it, hits approve, the email sends, and the AI agent automatically schedules a follow-up task in the CRM for the rep to call Thomas in exactly 3 days.
And here is the kicker. This entire sequence, from the moment Thomas's email hits the server to having a ready-to-send proposal sitting on the sales rep's screen, happens in a matter of seconds.
Seconds.
It is taking a fragmented, multi-system process that might have taken a human sales rep 45 minutes of clicking between windows, searching databases, checking with the warehouse, and typing out an email, and condensing it into a near-instantaneous background process.
The rep just clicks approve.
That is mind-blowing. And it brings us directly to another massive area of application highlighted in the research, intelligent document processing, or IDP.
IDP is a game changer.
We already touched on invoices earlier, but the text expands this to show how companies are reclaiming 80 to 90% of processing time across almost all document types.
Think about the legal and compliance departments.
Let's hear it.
Let's say a mid-market firm receives a dense 50-page vendor contract. Traditionally, a highly paid lawyer or compliance officer has to read every single line to ensure there are no hidden liabilities.
Which takes hours.
An IDP AI system can ingest that entire 50-page PDF in a second, instantly analyze the risk clauses, compare them against your company's standard acceptable terms, and highlight only the 3 specific paragraphs on page 42 that deviate from the norm and require human legal review.
That's amazing. Or think about human resources. If you post a job for a project manager, you might get 300 CVs.
Yeah.
The initial screening is a nightmare.
It's pure administration.
Right. The AI can ingest all 300 resumes, extract the relevant certifications, compare their project history to your job description, and create a ranked shortlist of the top 10 candidates in 5 minutes.
It completely removes the initial exhausting administrative bottleneck of hiring.
Which flows perfectly into the next major area, sales automation.
Yeah.
The sources point out a deeply tragic irony about the sales profession. Sales teams, on average, spend 60% of their time not selling.
60%.
That is incredibly inefficient. What are they doing if they aren't selling?
They are doing administration. They are doing manual data entry into the CRM. They are writing internal reports. They are hunting for contact information.
So frustrating.
They are doing everything except actually talking to customers, building relationships, and closing deals.
This is where the AI arsenal flips the script. The text details automated lead scoring,
which is huge.
This means the AI continuously analyzes historical data and engagement metrics to tell your reps exactly which leads in their pipeline have the highest mathematical probability of closing this week, so they don't waste 3 hours chasing a dead end.
Automated follow-ups ensure that absolutely no prospect falls through the cracks just because a rep got busy.
And there are price optimization tools that analyze market trends and competitor pricing to suggest the perfect profit-maximizing price point for a specific client. Quote,
"The statistic from the research on this specific application is phenomenal. By using agentic AI and IDP combined, companies are slashing proposal writing time from 45 minutes down to 5 minutes.
Think about the compounding effect of that.
It's massive.
If you give a salesperson 40 extra minutes for every single proposal they write, and they write 5 a day, you have just fundamentally multiplied the capacity of your sales force without hiring a single new person or expanding your payroll.
You essentially cloned your best performers' administrative capacity.
And that multiplication effect applies directly to customer service as well. The sources show that AI chatbots, and again, these are intelligent agents hooked into your specific company data, not generic public bots, are handling up to 80% of standard customer questions instantly.
Exactly. The repetitive volume, where is my order? What are your holiday opening hours? How do I initiate a return? How do I reset my password?
All the simple stuff.
The AI instantly searches the internal knowledge bases, understands the context of the user's account, and answers the easy stuff flawlessly.
And for the remaining 20%, the complex, emotionally charged issues.
It intelligently routes those tickets, along with a full summary of the customer's history, directly to the right human expert. The result is that overall response times drop drastically, from days to minutes.
Let's move from the digital realm into the physical realm, production and manufacturing. Piece of the DACH middle stand is heavily industrial.
It's their bread and butter.
This isn't just about software acting on text. It is about hardware integration. The text discusses computer vision on the assembly line.
Yes.
We are talking about cameras equipped with AI that can spot microscopic manufacturing defects, a bad weld, a misaligned gear, a scratch in the paint, with 99.9% accuracy, far exceeding human visual fatigue limits.
And perhaps even more impactful is predictive maintenance. This is a massive cost saver.
Explain that one.
Traditionally, you maintain a machine on a set schedule, or you fix it when it breaks. The AI changes this entirely. The AI system continuously listens to the acoustic vibration of a milling machine or monitors its microfluctuations in temperature and power draw.
It learns the baseline.
When it detects a tiny anomaly, it predicts a mechanical breakdown before it happens. It alerts the floor manager, allowing for a scheduled 20-minute maintenance window on a Tuesday instead of a catastrophic multi-day machine failure on a Thursday.
The text notes that this proactive approach can cut total machine downtime by a staggering 35%.
It is entirely about moving from a reactive posture, waiting for things to break, waiting for customers to complain, waiting for employees to quit, to a proactive posture.
We see this exact same proactive shift in HR and finance, the final two areas of the arsenal.
Yes. In HR, the AI can actually identify employee flight risks early.
How does it do that?
By analyzing metadata, like a sudden drop in engagement on internal platforms or a change in communication patterns, it can anonymously flag departments with high burnout risk, giving management a crucial window to intervene.
They can adjust workloads or have a conversation before they lose their top talent.
It also hyper-personalizes onboarding programs, tailoring training modules to the new hire's specific learning speed, ensuring they get up to speed and productive much faster.
And in finance, honestly, this sounds like the end of the monthly Excel slog.
It really is.
The sources describe AI systems capable of predicting cash flow 30 to 90 days in advance.
It isn't just guessing either.
Right. It's doing this based on complex historical payment patterns of specific clients, current pipeline probability, and macroeconomic indicators. It enables true, real-time reporting.
The CFO doesn't have to wait until the 15th of next month when the books finally close to know how the company performed last month. They know right now on a granular level.
Plus, the automated fraud detection is constantly scanning thousands of transactions, catching tiny anomalies that a tired human auditor might easily miss in a sea of spreadsheet data.
This is the complete arsenal. Agentic workflows, intelligent document processing, sales automation, proactive customer service, predictive production maintenance, predictive HR, and real-time finance.
Looking at all this laid out, it is undeniably overwhelming. The sheer scope of the technology is amazing.
It is.
But this raises an incredibly important question, and it is the exact trap that so many mid-market companies fall into when they read lists like this.
Implementation.
The question is, how do you actually implement this without completely derailing your current day-to-day operations?
Yes, the implementation trap. The research materials are refreshingly candid about this. The technology clearly works. The ROI is mathematically proven. But the actual bridge between knowing we need AI and having AI running in our systems is where SMEs get stuck.
And the text points the finger squarely at why they get stuck. It is the traditional consultancy model.
The legacy model is fundamentally broken for the mid-market. You realize you need AI, so you hire a massive, big-name global consulting firm.
And what do they deliver after 6 months of billing?
According to the internal evaluations in our sources, they deliver 200-page academic strategy papers that look beautiful, sound incredibly smart, and end up gathering dust on a shelf in the CEO's office.
I've seen exactly this happen. It is the death by PowerPoint approach.
Massive theoretical frameworks.
Endless scoping phases, stakeholder interviews, and pilot projects that stay trapped in a testing environment and never actually make it into production to solve a real problem.
A Fortune 500 company might have the luxury to spend a year and 2 million euros philosophizing about their AI transformation journey.
A mid-market firm does not. They need a tool that fixes their invoice problem by next quarter.
This is exactly why the sources pivot to deeply analyze Dynamic Sport AG as a primary case study. I want to be clear, we are looking at them analytically to understand how the market is shifting, not as a promotional exercise. But their methodology illustrates the only way SMEs can actually survive this transition. Their philosophy is built entirely around being the pragmatic partner for the mid-market. They recognize that the middle stand doesn't need academia. It needs execution.
Their entire approach is defined by being aggressively pragmatic. They prioritize real functioning systems over PowerPoints.
They don't want to talk about the theoretical future of AGI. They want to build an agent that sorts your incoming emails tomorrow.
And crucially, their approach is strictly measurable. Dynamic Sport AG enforces hard ROI targets. We mentioned earlier that their average project achieves a positive financial ROI in just 3 to 6 months.
The text emphasizes that this is not a marketing aspiration. It is their rigorously measured average across all their active DACH clients. They commit to the actual financial numbers.
They also emphasize having what they call SME DNA.
They understand the culture.
They know that mid-market companies have short, direct decision paths. The CEO is often sitting just down the hall from the operations manager.
They don't have 12 layers of corporate bureaucracy to navigate.
They demand personal support, straightforward, pragmatic solutions, and they absolutely refuse to pay for massive corporate overhead, bloating the consulting fees.
One of the most critical strategic advantages highlighted in the Dynamic Sport methodology is their hardline stance on no vendor lock-in.
If we connect this to the broader tech landscape, getting locked into a single ecosystem, say, deciding you will only use Microsoft's AI tools or only Google's, can be incredibly restrictive.
And technically limiting and wildly expensive over the long term as they raise their licensing fees.
Right. Being manufacturer independent is crucial for agility. The text points out that Dynamic Sport acts as an agnostic architect. They choose the absolute best tool for the specific job at hand.
Sometimes if you need intense creative reasoning, that is OpenAI's latest model.
Sometimes if you are processing massive 500-page legal documents, it's Anthropic's Claude because it has a larger context window and handles dense text better.
Sometimes it's Google Gemini for ecosystem integration. And sometimes, for highly sensitive internal data, they deploy open source models that run locally on the client's own servers for extreme privacy.
They aren't trying to sell you a specific brand. They are building a custom engine to solve your specific bottleneck.
Which naturally leads us to the ultimate deal breaker concern.
The question that every single operations director and legal counsel in the DACH region is likely screaming at their device right now. What about data privacy?
What about compliance? Is all of this actually legal under the GDPR, or as it's known in Germany, the DSGVO?
That is the immovable object in European business. You can have the greatest AI in the world, but if it fails a compliance audit, you are dead in the water.
Completely dead.
I need an ELI5 explain it like I'm five on how they actually handle this. Because feeding sensitive customer data into a public AI sounds like a massive lawsuit waiting to happen. The text says it's secure, but how?
The answer is a resounding yes. It is entirely legal and compliant, but it requires deep technical expertise to set up correctly. You cannot just copy-paste customer data into public ChatGPT.
No.
Dynamic Sport ensures that all data is processed strictly within the EU, utilizing localized servers. But the real magic is how they handle training. They use techniques like synthetic training data.
Okay, stop there. What exactly is synthetic training data?
Think of it as creating highly realistic dummy data. Let's say you want to train an AI on how your customer service team talks. Instead of feeding the AI real emails that contain actual names, addresses, and credit card numbers of real people, the system generates thousands of fake synthetic emails that perfectly mimic the pattern and structure of your business data, but contain absolutely zero real, personally identifiable information.
That is brilliant.
The AI learns the rules of your business perfectly without ever seeing a single real customer's private data.
So the privacy is baked into the training phase.
Exactly. Furthermore, they ensure transparent decision-making pathways. If the AI makes a choice, there is an audit log of why. They implement proper data processing agreements with all cloud providers.
And they build the systems to be in full compliance with the newly passed EU AI Act, which mandates specific risk categorizations and transparency requirements.
You get the full transformative power of the technology without failing the auditor's stress test.
To really cement how this pragmatic, secure approach works in the real world, the sources provide some fantastic case studies. I want to look at two of them deeply because they map perfectly onto the pain points we discussed earlier.
Let's look at the first one, the machinery manufacturer.
This is a classic, quintessential mid-market profile, 85 employees. They have a solid, highly respected physical product, but they were severely struggling with internal process efficiency.
The problem was acute and painful. They had a small team of 3 sales representatives, and because of their clunky legacy systems, it was taking these highly paid reps 45 minutes per inquiry just to do basic lead qualification.
Searching the CRM, checking credit limits, verifying product specs.
Because of that massive 45-minute administrative bottleneck, valuable warm leads were simply getting lost in the inbox or ignored because the reps physically could not process the volume of demand.
They were leaving money on the table every single day.
So rather than giving them a 200-page strategy deck, Dynamics Support came in and implemented a highly targeted agentic AI solution. This agent was designed specifically for 3 things: instant lead qualification, automatic proposal generation, and an automated CRM follow-up system.
And the results, measured just 6 months after deployment, are transformative.
Transformative is almost an understatement. They took that grueling qualification time from 45 minutes down to an incredible 5 minutes. The AI agent achieved a 92% correct classification rate on parsing incoming leads.
And was the bottom line financial result of giving the reps all that time back? Total closed deals went up by 34%.
That is the multiplier effect in action. They didn't have to go out and try to hire, train, and pay salaries for 2 more salespeople in a tight labor market.
They just gave the 3 reps they already had a digital superpower.
The quote from the CEO in the text really summarizes the emotional relief of the project. He said, "Finally, my team has time to sell."
Finally, my team has time to sell. It gets right back to curing the boredom resignation.
And the second case study looks at a completely different but equally stressful pain point: massive customer volume. This was a retailer with 120 employees. They were absolutely drowning in over 300 customer inquiries every single week.
And because they were drowning, their average response time had stretched out to a devastating 48 hours.
In the modern retail landscape, whether B2B or B2C, a 48-hour wait for a simple answer is basically a lost customer.
It is an absolute guarantee they have already Googled a competitor and bought the item somewhere else. They were bleeding revenue through poor service.
So Dynamic Support came in and implemented a secure AI chatbot, but again, not a generic one. They hooked it directly into the retailer's internal knowledge base, their inventory system, and their shipping API.
They trained it to instantly handle the top 50 standard questions. Plus, they gave it the ability to do automated ticket routing for the complex stuff.
The post-AI metrics are phenomenal. Instantly, 80% of all incoming inquiries were answered accurately within seconds by the AI. The human team was suddenly only dealing with the 20% of tickets that actually required nuance and human empathy.
Because the queue was cleared out, the human response time for those complex tickets plummeted from 48 hours down to under 1 hour.
And the ultimate metric: overall customer satisfaction scores jumped by an incredible 40%.
That is the pragmatic power of AI. It isn't science fiction about robots taking over the world. It is solving a mundane, stressful 48-hour email backlog and turning it into an instant resolution that makes your customers love you and makes your employees stop hating their inbox.
It's just a better way to work.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We have covered a massive amount of ground today. We've talked about the historical scale of the revolution, the demographic crisis forcing our hand, the undeniable ROI of the math, the vast arsenal of agentic tools, and the critical importance of pragmatic implementation.
The path forward outlined in the sources is designed to be completely risk-free for a mid-market company that wants to start but is afraid of the initial leap. Dynamic Support AG offers a completely free 60-minute AI potential analysis.
And the research stresses that this is not a high-pressure sales pitch. It is an hour dedicated purely to operational clarity. They sit down with you and ask, where does AI actually pay off in your specific operations? Where are your biggest bottlenecks?
What are the low-hanging fruits that can be solved quickly without ripping out your entire IT infrastructure?
Those low-hanging fruits are what they call quick wins. I love this concept. Initial projects like setting up that intelligent email routing or deploying automated meeting summaries and CRM data entry cost between 5,000 and 15,000 euros.
They go live and are genuinely productive in just 6 to 8 weeks, and they come with crystal clear, measurable KPIs.
You don't commit to a massive, terrifying, multi-year digital transformation. You commit to solving one expensive, annoying problem in 2 months.
It is an incredibly rational, deeply pragmatic approach to what is otherwise an overwhelming technological shift. You take it one solvable problem at a time, prove the ROI, and then scale.
It really is the only way to do it. Remember, while we are talking about this, the competition isn't sleeping. While some traditional companies are still sitting in boardrooms debating whether AI is just a passing fad, others are already quietly automating their processes, drastically cutting their administrative costs, multiplying their sales forces, and pulling permanently ahead.
Doing nothing is literally the only real risk here.
If you want to see exactly how this pragmatic approach applies to your specific business, the sources direct you to reach out at dynamicsupport.de.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to step back from the tech and the ROI and leave you with a more profound question to ponder as you go back to your day. We have established today that AI is rapidly, unstoppably becoming the baseline standard for handling all operational, logical, and repetitive tasks.
That's right.
Within a few years, having an agentic AI will be as common and expected as having a high-speed internet connection or a company website. If that is the case, if every single business, including all of your competitors, eventually has AI doing the heavy lifting of administration, data processing, and basic service, what becomes the new, uniquely human competitive advantage that will set your mid-market business apart?
That is the ultimate question. Once the playing field of speed and data is completely leveled by AI, your human creativity, the depth of your personal relationships, your empathy, and your strategic vision are all that is left to compete on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep asking the hard questions, keep looking forward, and we will see you next time.